Hi, I'm John. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the director of our provincial churches. At Victory, we are committed to plant churches all over the Philippines, believing that together we can disciple this nation. Hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
We have been going through this idea of this is all about Him. We started this morning with just a guitar with Kathy and the keyboard singing together. It's because we just want to set aside all the ornaments. Did I say ornaments? Instruments. Setting aside all the instruments and just come and have a devotion to the Lord as a corporate body of believers. And some of you probably you've done that. Some of you were forced to do that during the pandemic, as we have experienced the last 3 years. Some of you, you picked up that guitar for the very long time. You've never had done that, but you've done it for the first time once again and started singing songs and not worrying about your neighbors. This is our way of worship. Worship in our giving, worship in our service. But today, let's talk about worship through our songs. And some of you might say, but is this a series for the singers? No, this is a message for everyone. And today, you know, in this life, we all are on a mission. And in this mission, we're fulfilling God's plan for our lives here on earth. And sometimes things are looking great. Sometimes things are well and good. But there are times things are just bleak. Things are just dreary and gloomy. And sometimes we just don't know how to face situations in our lives. But, you know, God has given us that privilege to make His mission be fulfilled on this earth. And He has chosen the church to do that. He has chosen you and I to fulfill His mission on this earth. You've seen the video of us meeting together in South Africa. We do that as a movement. For those of you who have come for the first time, we are named Every Nation. That's the name of our movement. That's why we have all these flags on the side of this room, just to remind ourselves that we're not just called for our nation, for the Philippines, for our cities, but we're called for the nations of the world. And it's a good reminder that we're not just Filipino Christians, but international Christians. We're born to be a blessing to this world. And so that will be a reminder. We're going to be doing that this October. The last time where did we do that last time? I think in Florida. I think in Florida, and then before that here in the Philippines. Maybe we should do that again 3 years from now. We'll do it here, I'm sure. We don't need visas, so we can all attend, right? And so that will be 3 years from now. But this year, we're going to have this just to remind our brothers and sisters across the world, whether brown or white or black or yellow, whatever color of skin you have, as believers, we have a call from God. And what a privilege to do that. And as we do this, though, there are some challenges that we are facing. And as we face those, how are we going to respond? And that is a good question. May it be fulfilling and living out our careers. Whatever career you may be in right now, you may be a businessman, a lawyer, in the military. You may be in the school, in finance, in arts, in music. In whatever direction you may be in, each and every one of us are called of God to appropriate His plan and purpose in that world. Are we here? We're called to appropriate His plan and purpose in that world. And so we are His agents. We are His missionaries in all these parts of the world. And some of you wondering, am I called to be a missionary? Am I called to be a lawyer? Am I called to be in the military? Well, depending on how the Lord is leading you, I believe God is going to continue to give us His leading, His direction. And we're going to see how this is going to pan out. How are we going to live this life? What should be our motivation in living this life? In this passage of Scripture that Miss Joy just read before us, we will see here men who have been used of God, and yet they faced one of the worst situations that a missionary could ever face. Beatings from the mob. I'm just remembering this passage. I don't know if you remember that passage in a prophet named Elisha, when he was walking around and boys came out and started calling him skinhead. Maybe because he was bald, maybe because he was not as hairy as Elisha, but nevertheless, these boys came out and mocked him. And when he mocked him, Elisha looked back and saw these boys and cursed them in the Lord. You know, I mean, maybe because he's a prophet of the Lord, so everything he does is in the Lord. So he cursed the boys in the Lord. And guess what happened? 2 she-bears showed up from the woods and started breaking 42 boys. Now, this is not kid church. This is gangsters, all right, who's mocking this prophet. But this, it's more than just mocking him because of the way he looks. I believe he was being mocked because of his calling in life. Because the kid says, go up, you skinhead. Go up. Go up means because they saw and heard Elisha going up through the chariots of fire. And so they're saying, you too go up. And so they're mocking him. But according to Elisha, they're not just mocking me in the way I look. They're mocking the calling of God in my life. They're mocking the ministry, my ministry, the ministry of Elijah. Therefore, they're mocking God's plan for this earth. And so he looked at them and says, curse be upon you. And bears showed up. What a way to disperse a rally. You know, I mean, he was about to be mobbed by 42, the scriptures, men. You know, the scriptures sometimes very broad in using the word boys. Remember when Solomon was praying, the scripture says he was a young man. He was actually 20 years old. Remember who was this another person? Remember Joseph, when he was praying and he was brought from prison, he was brought to the king, and the person who brought him to the king says he was a young Hebrew, but he was actually 39 years old. Who among you are 39 and below? Raise your hands. You see, how many know 39 can kill? See, and so boys, these 42 men was about to destroy and threatening the kingdom of God, but hey, he was able to survive because bears showed up from the woods. But here, they didn't survive. These two missionaries, Paul and Silas, were attacked by the mob because Paul and Silas performed a miracle. What was the miracle? He cast out the demon out of a young girl who had been a fortune teller. Now, by doing this, he did not just cast out the demon out of the girl. He cast out the economy of a lot of businessmen. Why? Because a lot of people invested on this little girl. People are earning money because of her fortune-telling gig. And because of that, they were so angered by it that they cast the demon out of her. Therefore, there would be no more business. That they rallied gangster in Philippi, gathered all of them to attack these two missionaries. And guess what happened? They were beaten up, blood all over the place. And so to, and somebody took them and threw them down the dungeon in jail. And that was the picture. And but before that thing happened, I'd like to first show us some motivation and how they lived their lives in as far as living our life in ministry, their life in ministry, how they went about fulfilling God's purpose in their lives. First, let's examine how they did it. First, their life was a faith-led life. Faith-led life. Why is that? This is Paul and Silas, and they lived their lives. When they did the mission to fulfill God's call in their lives, it was a faith-led life. Why? Verse 6. Let's go first to verse 6. I'm looking at the entire chapter, chapter 16 right now. And verse 6, and says, they went through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Say, forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, say the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now here are these missionaries. God had called them to fulfill God's mission. But when they went through the region, they were supposed to go to Asia. Asia is not the Far East Asia. It's somewhere in Turkey. Okay, that was part of an ancient map, and it's called Asia. And so, their desire is to go to Asia, and so, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit had forbidden them to go there. And so they decided, okay, let's go to Mysia then. And when they were about to go to Mysia, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Where else are we going? So they decided to go to this side in Troas. And guess what happened? When they went to Troas, the Lord spoke to them. Verse 9, the vision appeared to Paul in the night. This is closed door, another closed door, but an open door. Why was this an open door? Because he had the vision in the night. And the Lord showed himself in the vision of the night, and a man from Macedonia was standing there in his dream, in his vision, urging him to come and come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, let me show you the map here, just to give you a little bit of a background, just for you to understand what we're talking about here. Here they were. They were in, this is Asia right here, and I don't know if you can make it a little bit clearer, but they're supposed to go somewhere in this part, and in Asia, and then they decided maybe we can go to Mysia, and so they decided to go move somewhere there, near there at the border there, and then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, don't go there, so they decided to go there in Troas. That's Troas right there, on that side near the ocean, and then when they were in Troas, they had a vision. And now they're supposed to go to, there's a vision from Macedonia. Say Macedonia. Macedonia today is Europe. This is the first work ever in Europe. They were in Troas, and they're about to, and they're supposed to go here in Asia, somewhere on this side. But the Holy Spirit did not allow them. What kind of life is this? This life is led by the Lord. Every step. If the Lord closes a door here, maybe the Lord is preparing something better. And then you go here. Let me see. Is this your will, Lord? And then you decided to go there. The Lord says, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him. And then he decided, maybe I can go here near the beach in Troas. And then he had a vision at night. A guy was waving and says, hey, cross the sea. Help! I woke him. Sorry. I woke up somebody sleeping. I'm across. You cross the sea. And so they decided, okay, maybe this is the Lord telling us to cross the sea. And so they went. And it's amazing that, you know, Paul was guided by hindrance. The Holy Spirit often guides as much by the closing of doors as He does by opening doors. Sometimes the Lord opens the door, closes the door, and sometimes we say, oh, the Lord is not answering my prayer. Maybe He's really answering your prayer. Not your way, His way. Are we here? Sometimes, is the Lord really answering my prayers? He's answering, He's doing something. His grand plan is larger than your mini plans. David Livingstone wanted to go to China, a missionary. But the Lord has sent him to Africa. David Livingstone. Another man, William Carey, wanted to go to Polynesia, but God sent him to India. Sometimes we have a desire and a dream, but the Lord would send us somewhere else. A guy by the name of Adoniram Hudson went to India, but God guided him to Burma. And that's life. A girl was praying, and this is what she said. This is Ruth Bear Graham. She says, God has not always answered my prayers. If He had, I would have married the wrong man several times. This is the wife of Billy Graham. Are you here? How many of you are glad sometimes the Lord is not answering our prayers? If He did, you have been divorced 7 times. Are you here? And so now you appreciate. You know, oh, the Lord is not answering my prayer. Oh, yeah. Because God has a grander plan for you. And sometimes we just wanted this, but the Lord says, I'm giving you this much. I'm giving you the best. Why are you asking for this puny thing if I have a plan for you for this? And sometimes as parents, you can relate with me. Sometimes we try to show our children some things, but they want something this and that or that. And you know, it's kind of hard sometimes, but you have to be patient and let them enjoy this. But you know that there's something that you have something prepared. You and the parents preparing something big, but they wanted this. And sometimes you let them, oh, okay, go ahead, experience that. And then what do you think? Well, maybe God has something better and bigger for you. Oh yeah, maybe He has something bigger for me. Now He has learned through your guidance as a parent for your children to live in faith. We're talking about faith-led living. Our lives are guided by the Lord's hand over you and I, and sometimes we just have to appreciate and open our hearts to what the Lord is opening. When He closes a door, He opens another one. There was one businessman who had been dreaming and praying with his wife, and they were praying for a breakthrough in this negotiation. They prayed and fasted for it. And this is it. If I can just get this business, everything will be fine. But the business went south, and it didn't continue, and they were so sad, and it took them several months to recover out from that declined negotiation, without knowing that closed door has been, they are being prepared for something larger, and should they have spent the money they had in that one, they would not have been ready for a bigger project that has been prepared months later. And so God is something better, and when He closes the door, as I've said, let's believe God and say, okay, yeah, I know You have a better plan, Lord, and we just want to continue to plow in and do what You want us to do. Number two, the kind of life, the motivation in living this life, in this ministry God has given us. Who among you here believe we all are in a ministry? We are all in a ministry, whether you're a missionary, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're in medicine, we are all missionaries, and our lives ought to be a faith-led life. Number two, joy-filled, lived in a joy-filled manner. Joy-filled manner. Verse 25. Now let's jump from that passage to this one. I just highlighted some of the important points here. Verse 25, about midnight, now they were in prison. Remember the story? They were thrown and went in prison, and they were they were put on the stocks, and they were the inner chamber of the prison. During that time, when we say prison, don't think of American prison, okay? With all the with all the breakfast and the lunches and the dinners. That is not the picture of a prison during that time. It was a dungeon. They were in the inner chamber. They were seated with their feet locked, and they were wooden thing there, and they were in chain while they were in prison. And so while they were there, blood everywhere, wounds everywhere, because they were attacked and mobbed by the crowd. They threatened the business of some of the businessmen. And so they were there bleeding because of their wounds. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. How can you be filled with gratitude when you are in prison, wounds all over, in pain, and yet they were praying and singing before, be singing him to God? And the prisoners were listening to them. Alam niyo yung typical na karaoke, and I did it my way in the corner, and while you're singing, your neighbors are all angry. What is this song, you know? Somebody was murdered because of that song, I heard. I did it my way. Who invented karaoke anyway? Not the Japanese. The Filipinos invented karaoke. But anyways, and here they were singing. They, by the way, Paul and Silas were Jews. They were not Filipinos, okay? If they were Filipinos, I'm sure they're going to sing. But they started singing, praying and singing, and the neighbors. Now, listen to me. Some of you might think, oh, of course, they don't have any choice. They are in prison. So you sing, everybody listens. I don't think so. You know why they were listening, and this must be something different? You know why? Because they're expecting sounds of moaning. Sounds of mourning. Sounds of people who are in pain. But they weren't. They were singing songs before God. They were praising God in prison. How many of you know you get people's attention? Don't give me that I did it my way. You don't get their attention. These people were watching, listening, because they were singing a different kind of tune. Worshiping God. And worshiping in praise in the middle of pain. In the middle of pain. A friend of mine was giving me a picture of what his experience during the Yolanda. And he was giving me the story. He got out. Near his house, he got out. And he saw the beach. Instead of seeing waters, he saw land. The water subsided, and he saw, as far as his eyes could see, land. It is supposed to be seawater, but he's seeing land. You know why? Because the entire seawater tried to go in the middle of the sea. Then in few moments, it's about to come back. It's called surge. And when he saw it, he was wondering, probably scratching his head. He didn't know what's happening. But when he saw the big waves coming back out from the sea, he ran for his life. And some of his friends and guards, the hill was so far away. They decided to go. It was an event place. So they climbed up from the walls and went to the ceiling, destroyed the ceiling, and so they can climb up even more and hug the beams. And that was it. When they destroyed the ceiling and the beams, they couldn't do anything else but to hug on those beams. And while they were hugging on those beams, and the waves from the sea is about to come and eat up the land, he couldn't do anything but to sing. You are my world. You are my God. Don't make me sing, all right? But, you know, he was hugging. He was giving me the story while we were driving across America. And he was driving and giving me the story while I was doing my assignment. And he was driving and he says, "You know what I did, Pastor? I sang. I hugged that beam while the waters from the sea is about to come and see the destruction. While during the destruction with all the raindrops falling on my face, I sang, 'You are my world. You are my God. Nothing can replace you. You are my world.'" It's like, "I'm ready to die, Lord, just in case. But I want to let you know, you're my world. You're my God. You're my everything." Can we come to that place where we don't have Kathy go to come and rescue us? She didn't rescue me, but we don't have the music team with all the bands and the drums with Epi. You know the Epi here, the black guy, you see him? From Ivory Coast, was it? Is he from Ivory Coast? I mean, he was playing with all his heart. I see some drummers, they even put a cell phone there to get a photo of them, a video of them while playing. But let me tell you this, there'll be no music team when that time comes. There'll be no accompaniment. There'll be no guitars. It will just be you and God. Will you then be able to sing and let that prayer of rejoicing come out of your mouth? It may be with tears falling down on the side of your face, but it's okay. No one is there but you. And you sing that song before God. Hey, this may be it. This may be it. But they were singing it. And guess what happened? Remember, we always say, when you sing, we stop people to sing because it might rain. Remember that? Well, you know, sometimes I guess it's true sometimes, you know. Because what happened here was, when they were singing, an earthquake came. I'm telling you, an earthquake came and destroyed the foundation of the entire prison. And immediately they were unfastened. Doors of the prison opened up by force. Because an earthquake, immediately an earthquake came. Now, when you sing and the storm started hitting the land, don't blame yourself now, okay? But this is a story here that the Lord had done something when they started rejoicing before God. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, I want to give you a background. Philippians, remember, this happened in Philippi. This prison, the Philippi in Macedonia, okay? There was an open door there. They went to when they went to Europe, there was not much synagogues there. So they went to a nearby river, and prayer meetings are happening there because there were women there, Lydia. Lydia heard the gospel, and her entire household came to Christ. Why was there a prayer meeting in the beach? Because there weren't much Jewish people in Europe during that time. You know, if there are 10 Jewish men in a certain place, they can actually come together and start a synagogue. Remember, Paul, every time he goes to a city, he would preach in the synagogues. But when he went to Philippi, there's no synagogue. In other words, there were not much Jewish people there, only a prayer meeting. Only with these women. Now, there may be 10 women, but during that time, it still cannot have a quorum it's not enough justification to start a synagogue. And so Paul himself went to the nearby beach and prayed with the women. Lydia came to know Christ and her entire household. And the team Paul and Silas, and probably even the author of this, Luke himself, Dr. Luke, was accommodated in their house. And then something happened. They met this lady who's giving fortune telling, the one I told you about. And Apostle Paul cast the demon out of her. And because of that, she was put in prison. Why am I giving this background? I'm giving this background just to show you that the hand of God was upon them, and it all happened in Philippi. Say Philippi. Now let's go to the letter written for the Philippians. Philippi. People in Philippi. And this is what it says in verse 4, chapter 3, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Let's all read this together. Finally, all right? Ready? Go. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me, as is safe for you. Verse 4, the next one. And says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Ang kulita. Let your reasonableness be known to anyone. To everyone, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Let's read verse 6 together. Ready? Go. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by and let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Why do you think Apostle Paul was talking about rejoicing in the letter he sent to a place where he was put in prison at one point? Because the church was burst out of rejoicing out of joy. And the church knew exactly what joy means. It's not joy surrounded with gold nuggets. It's joy surrounded with all these things that are happening, and yet there's so much thanksgiving welling out from their hearts. May we as Christians continue to well up in gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord regardless of our circumstance. May you and I believe as Filipinos, as a culture, we've got that. Koreans are known for their prayers. But have you noticed that Filipinos are known for singing? Could it be? Now, you look for 10 Filipinos, 9 could probably sing. 1, forget it. But you get my point? We all can sing. I grew up hearing my father sing all the time. My father is from the Visayas, and he sings all the time. Matud Nila is such a song I've been hearing growing up. You know, when I was running across the Philippines, I ran across Leyte. No wonder. People, while they were, you know, in the morning, alam mo yun, attorney, habang naglilinis sila ng bakuran, kumakanta, hindi lang yun. May mga maliliit na bahay in English. There are small shacks somewhere. In the middle of nowhere, there's this small house, and a huge sound is coming out of that small house because there was a sound system sent from Saudi. Have you noticed that? When there's a brand new sound system in the house, you are just aware that a relative from the Middle East sent this neighbor a sound system. I mean, it's happening across the country. Why do you think we have that? Maybe it's a gift. Maybe it's a gift of God to us as a culture. But as Christians, we want to redeem it. We want to redeem it and have our own songs. As a church, we decided to have our own songs. And if there are hill songs, we have worship. We have victory worship as well. And we have people writing and doing this and believing God that it will continue on. 1 Corinthians, let me read this passage. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue in the interpretation. Let things be done for what? Building up. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, or that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns with singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another, in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. What an encouragement. In Exodus, in Old Testament 15:11, it says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Psalm 34, verse 1. Let me just read this. And it says, 34, verse 1. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Psalms 34, verse 1. It's not there, but let me read this. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless. There's some of you wondering, how can I bless the Lord? He's been blessing me. How can I bless the Lord? Well, according to that verse, we bless the Lord through our songs. So when you come here on Sunday, whether there's a drum or not, we can bless the Lord through our songs. Amen? And we can sing our heart out. I wonder why some churches, they turn off the lights. So that maybe not to recognize those who are out of tune. I don't know. I always tell Pastor Aldwin, let's turn on the lights, you know. We've been in the dark for so long during pandemic. Come on, let's sing our heart out when we are together. It pleases the Lord, amen? This pleases the Lord. Let's give a lot of praise for that. Now, there are some, you know, do you know that Psalms was the book of Psalms was written during times of bad situations. And out of that, because of David, the entire book had been written. It's all about songs. And now it's being used in different circumstances and situations a person may be in. You know, when you cannot, remember when some of you probably, when you cannot sleep at night, maybe you need to, if you cannot sleep, why don't you just sing, right? Why don't you just sing to the Lord? If you cannot sleep at night, some says, count the sheep. Well, why don't you come to the shepherd instead? In prayer, in songs, and come before him. Let's see if you can put this all in one slide. All the things that you can know about, some of the things about Psalms, okay, the book of Psalms. If we have that, we can just put it in there. Where to look in the Psalms when you are in this situation? That could be a good thing to check and find out. What is the scripture? What is this book of songs talking about? Sleep. When I have sinned, when you are ill, when you need God's guidance, when you are traveling, when people create problems. Now I want that. When you are downcast. When sinners seem to succeed, yan, medyo nagsiselos ka. When sinners seem to succeed, when you're afraid, you feel old. Now, some of us, maybe we should check this. When you worry about the future, when you think about death, when you are in deep waters, when problems seem bigger than God, when you just want to praise Him, Psalm 103, amen? This could be it, just to help us. Because of these songs. And the last one, and I'm going to end with this. When we live our life in ministry and fulfill God's mission for us, make sure we live a life that is faith-led life. Number two, make sure we do it with joy-filled manner, in a way that's filled with joy. And the last one is love-compelled mission. We all do this in relating to one another out of love. And how did Paul do that? Love-compelled mission. How did he do that? Where something happened when the earthquake came, destroyed the entire prison. The jailer was about to kill himself. But Paul says, do not do that. We are all here. He couldn't see because it was so dark. So he got a lamp and went inside, and lo and behold, the entire prisoner's team were all there and they did not escape. Why? I don't know. Maybe they were still mesmerized with the voice of Silas and Paul. They were so mesmerized. So it was such a testimony that instead of them groaning and speaking, cursing, and so on and so forth, they were thanking God. They were praising the Lord. That it became a testimony to the rest of the prisoners. They didn't even need to escape anymore. When the doors opened up, they didn't even bother to escape anymore. They felt the peace of God in their own hearts. Probably they've received the Lord right there and then in the prison. Apostle Paul says, "We are all here. No worries, don't kill yourself." He's supposed to kill himself, or else the government will. But he says, "You don't have to do that. We're all here. We did not escape." And to cut the story short, it was such a testimony. But the highlight of that is they sang. I don't know what they sang. We'll find out when we get to heaven someday. But they sang, and the heart of Apostle Paul is, "Do not harm yourself. We're here." They could have been filled with bitterness and says, "Go ahead, kill yourself, you. Go kill yourself." I mean, everybody could have been ranting, but they were moved with love. And let that compel us in living this life and ministry God has given us. As we leave this place today, I want to say this. Unleash melodies for the Lord, who is able to turn dark depths of desperation into a shining light of salvation. Do not be embarrassed if you need to. Go ahead. Like my father, who would always, every time he's doing great, he would sing in the middle of nowhere in our house and sing. He didn't care what we were doing. He would just sing his heart out. May we all, in times of plenty or in want, rejoice and celebrate and be grateful with the Lord that the Lord has given us the opportunity to apply and appropriate His mission on this earth. I want you to bow down your heads, close your eyes, and let us pray. Father God, thank you for this morning, for giving us the opportunity, Lord God, to be able to live out the ministry, the mission you have given us here on earth in whatever capacity, whatever situation we're in. May we serve you, advancing your kingdom in the field that we are in. But as we do that, Lord, as we fulfill your mission in the field that you have called us to be part of, may we do that being led by the Spirit. Faith, we want to be faith led in the way we conduct our lives. That when you close a door, we know you're going to open another one. And we will not get frustrated, but believe God and hang on and continue to trust you for our lives. May we not just have faith, greater faith in our hearts, but greater joy in the name of Jesus. Some of you have some, things that are stealing the joy in your heart at this moment. Anxiety and situation that is stealing that peace of mind. I wanna pray for you right now. You may be in a dungeon of life. I'm not gonna ask you to sing right now, but I'm just saying you are in a dungeon of life. There's pain. There are wounds. But I want you to know that God hears. Amen. While everybody's bowing down their hands, if you are in that situation, raise your hands. I want to pray for you. You are battling for a certain situation right now. You are in the dungeon of life. I want to pray for you. Father God, you see these hands, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you will come through for them, oh God, even at this time, even at this season in their lives. Lord God, hear the cries of their hearts, Lord. We continue to open, Lord, our mouth of adoration, of worship to you. And Lord God, if you want to close a door, it's up to you, Lord. Because we know, Lord God, that you have other amazing doors
waiting, Lord God, for it to be opened. And so, Lord, here we are. We're raising our hands, acknowledging your divine intervention in our lives. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join the Victory Group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.